The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. Tony, the Northeast could get hit with a big winter storm this weekend.
I'm Tony Kornheiser. Oh, no. I may get stuck in my house.
Oh wow. The horror. Imagine that.
Yeah.
What day?
Yeah.
I know you're like a weather forecaster. You're like a sanctioned weather forecaster. When is the nor'easter coming?
Okay, well, I pay attention to the Capital Weather Gang in the Washington Post, and they say it's going to be very, very rough from New York up and into New England, but here in Washington, D.C., maybe a couple of inches. More out in Delaware, though. Maybe 5-6 in Delaware. Welcome to PTI,
Delaware.
Boys and girls. In today's episode, David Ortiz makes the Hall of Fame, Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens don't, and the Wizards blow a 35-point lead. But we begin today with Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers and the possibility that neither will be back on their current football teams next year. Brady has said he might retire. Rodgers has said he doesn't want to be part of a rebuild in Green Bay and has also talked about walking away entirely. Rodgers has promised a quick decision. Brady is likely to take longer. Wilbon, do Rodgers and Brady's recent comments lead you to take more seriously that either or both might not be back with the same team next year?
Well, Brady's due. Because, Tony, maybe you've seen that side of him. I haven't. I don't remember at any point thinking that Brady was just out there stumping, you know, and I should just not pay attention to whether he'll play or not. It sounded to me, you know, after the game immediately and then after that, it sounded like Brady is thinking, you know what, I've done this for a long time, and there's no other reason to do it except for chase Super Bowls, and I got more of those than anybody, right? Double and triple, right. Even some of the greatest players of all time, 7 times more of them than number 12 in Green Bay. So, yeah, I listened to Brady with a different ear this time. Rodgers, I told you a couple of days ago, I don't want to hear it. I'm tired of it. I'm not going to just hang on every word. He did make it sound like it'll be shorter this time, like it'll be concise. He'll make up his mind and give a decision that will also let the people dependent on him make up their minds if they've got deliberations. But it's Brady's words that sway me a little bit, maybe even more than a little bit.
Yeah, we're going to concur on this. Aaron Rodgers, I believe, will play football next year, but maybe not in Green Bay. If you listen to him lately, he has talked about how much he likes the fans in Green Bay and how much he likes the management in Green Bay this year because of how accommodating they've been. That sounds to me like, Mike, a guy who's going to go and just wants to make sure when he goes, everybody thinks well of him. But like you, I'm stunned by Brady. I mean, Brady has never said anything other than, I played last year, I'm playing this year, and I'm playing next year. That's all he ever said. He never talked about not playing. I wouldn't have been surprised if he said, I'm going to play till I'm 55. So when Brady does this, it's stunning. When Brady talks about wanting to be a better husband and wanting to be a better father, it's not that I disagree with that, but I didn't see that in his worldview. And Mike, when he said a word, he said, if I walked away now, I'd be satisfied with what happened. Satisfied to me is a look backward, Mike. It's not a look forward word. I think when you open the door to retirement, sometimes you can't close that door again. Brady can walk away as the GOAT. Rodgers can't. There's pressure on Rodgers to be better in the playoffs. But like you, Mike, I never thought I'd hear this from Brady. Never.
Well, I thought I'd hear it because he's 45 years old. He'd be 45 in August. He's 45. It's time to go. I'm not surprised. Time to go. That's it.
But he was so good this year. He was so good.
But he, despite some opinions, including it seems at times yours in the past, Brady, not even Brady can play forever. It's time to go. All the greats have retired. And some of them earlier than others. You think about Jim Brown and Bill Russell. They were on the earlier side when there wasn't the money to keep playing as an incentive like there is now. It's time to go. I'm not surprised. I'm
not disagreeing with you that it's time to go.
Yeah,
I think he's going to look around. I think if Byron Leftwich gets a job as a head coach somewhere else, And if Rob Gronkowski, who can't run anymore, retires like he should, Brady's going to say, what's to hold me to Tampa Bay?
Yeah.
What is the attraction for me here?
What's to keep
doing
this?
So I think
this.
He might go.
What's to keep doing this? You know, he's a young man. He's got a million things he can do. Let's move to baseball, where David Ortiz, Big Poppy, was the only player who baseball writers put into the Hall of Fame last night. Poppy got 77.9% of the vote on his first ballot. Meanwhile, on their last ballots, Barry Bonds fell short of the 75% needed with just 66%. Roger Clemens received 65.2%. Sammy Sosa, 18.5%. Tone, the New York Times reported in 2009 that David Ortiz had failed the PED test 6 years earlier. Though Ortiz has denied ever taking steroids and subsequently tested negative, didn't test positive. So why do you think voters were okay with him and not the other three?
Well, I think that overwhelmingly, it's because there's a likability factor with David Ortiz that there isn't with the others. I'm not even going to count Sammy Sosa. The big ones are Bonds and Clemens. People like Big Poppy, and they don't like Bonds and Clemens. The second factor is, and we'll go to that steroid testing, that even if you believe that Poppy took steroids before they were illegal in baseball, once he was tested after illegality, he never failed a test. So if you're a voter, Mike, you can say, see, I'm not prejudiced against people who might have taken steroids because I'm voting for Big Poppy. But I'm not voting for Clemens and I'm not voting for Bonds because their numbers are superhuman, which indicates to me, if in the mind of a voter, they were taking steroids all the way through. And so I think that that gives cover to a voter who says, I'll vote for this one guy, but not the others. But I think overwhelmingly, Mike, it's that they like Big Poppy and they don't like the others. And the other factor here is Rob Manfred, who seemed to be endorsing Ortiz, because he said of those tests that were supposed to be confidential in 2003, they're not really reliable. You could have popped a positive on something even over the counter. We're not sure exactly what they were. And he pointed out that Poppy had never failed a drug test. I'm just asking here. I don't know he's ever said that about Bonds and Clemens. I don't know that he's ever seemed to endorse them.
The answer to this, for me, is very simple. The cloud of steroids did not hang over Big Poppy, his career, his whole career. It hung over Bonds for years. Clemens, fewer years, but still years. Poppy didn't have this. The steroid cloud did not follow him around. You know, like Pigpen and Charlie Brown. It just didn't. And so people, and by the way, Tony, these voters are younger. I said, I think this yesterday, you and I sat shoulder to shoulder with a great number of baseball writers who voted for the Hall of Fame for decades. Those people, to my knowledge, many, if not most of them, have moved on, some to the afterlife. You know, their opinions, their worldview, their prejudices, their support, it's not the same group of people. So I don't know how to judge it. I have to be in that room and I haven't been in there. But I just think it didn't follow Poppy around.
I'm just going to say this. Yeah, I think it's fair for a voter to ask this question. What is disqualifying? Is it disqualifying for Pete Rose that he bet when he was a manager and he had control over a game? Is it disqualifying that Barry Bonds' head got so big that he hit the ball harder than anybody has ever hit the ball and way harder than he used to hit the ball? What is disqualifying? You and I both believe the same thing, that an accommodation must be made for these guys. They're record breakers. You just can't keep them out. I don't think.
No. The Hall of Fame is just,
next story. This next story is just for you. Two things happened in the NBA last night that almost defy belief. The Sacramento Kings lost by 53 points in Boston to the Celtics. 53. And the Washington Wizards blew a 35-point lead and lost to the Clippers. Which was the more embarrassing loss?
But this is not close to me. First of all, you're talking about Sacramento. I mean, Sacramento. I mean, stop with Sacramento. They lost in Boston. In Boston. Where the Celtics, for 75 years, have blown people out. It's, set it aside. Tony, I didn't watch this last night because I watched other games. And when you see the margin for the Wizards, and you might have done it, you might have been asleep by then, I'm just like, okay, I don't need to check that game. Why would I check the Wizards game? Because they're up 27, 29, 30, whatever. No, good night. I got to go on to another game. When I heard that the Wizards had blown all of that lead, I thought this is the most embarrassing loss in the history of the Wizards, 40 years of which you and I have watched up close and personal, often on the front row. My God, how can they lose that game? And it led me to think of other things. I picked the Wizards to go to the playoffs, and I didn't think it'd be close. I didn't think they'd be a 7 or 8 in the playoff play-in game in the 9 or 10. No, I thought the Wizards had the personnel to be a playoff team. And now I see that loss. Oh, my God.
Yeah, so let me just go through this. Losing by 53 is terrible. But earlier this year, Oklahoma City lost by 73. So it's just a lousy night. It's just a lousy night. What happened to the Wizards is way beyond lousy night. They're up by 35. They're up. Well, let me get this straight, because you can't do that. They're up by 7. They're up by 6 points with 9 seconds to go. And Luke Kennard goes for 7 points on 2 threes and a foul shot. He hasn't done that since Duke. Was nobody bothering to guard this guy? 26 years ago, Mike, in 1996, a team blew a 36-point lead. It's a long time to have this happen to you. It's an amazing thing. The Wizards started out this year when we both loved them at 10-3.
10-3.
They're 13-22 since. And by the way, Bradley Beal, how's this quote from Bradley Beal? I have no words beyond embarrassing. I was frustrated when I had to go back in. This should have been a game where the starters got their rest. You want rest, Bradley? Open up a mattress store. I mean, you were out there in the third quarter when they went for 40 against you. Don't just blame the subs. Everybody, right, Mike? Everybody on the team.
No, I don't think he blamed the subs. I just
own
think he was
loss.
Giving.
Own the
no,
loss.
I just think he was giving a description that is often given in the NBA, which is when the starters go out, that means the coach has enough confidence that they're not going back in. And that description is used all the time. So I don't think Bradley was taking shots at the subs. Not at all. They all deserve to be have shots taken at them. And he's right. He should be embarrassed. That's an embarrassing loss, Tony. And how about the last 7 seconds of the game? There hasn't been a loss like that in 16,000 games. It's unbelievable.
They're headed for their customary 9-20. They'll just finish 9-20. That's all. Let's take a break. Coming up, what sort of punishment does Sabres goalie Aaron Dell deserve for this hit last night?
And what's the word for Daniil Medvedev crediting Novak Djokovic for inspiring his comeback win last night?
35-point lead. Come
35.
On.
35. It just
what are we
is not believable.
About?
It's not believable.
Come on, man. What are we even doing out?
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You know what's scary? My extraordinary vocabulary. What's primary?
Aaron Dell's hit on Drake Batherson was blank.
Suspension worthy. Watch the clip of this guy. He comes out of the goal. He clips the kid, knocks him right into the wall. The kid was going to be in the All-Star game, and now he's not going to be able to play. I mean, if you're a regular, you can't hit a goalie. And if you're a regular player, you don't expect a goalie to come out of the net and initiate this sort of action. And Dell has done this before. He did it when he was the goalie at San Jose, long before Buffalo. He did it a few weeks ago to somebody from Nashville. And then he says, quote, I wasn't trying to hurt anybody. Mike, that's not true. It looks like he was deliberately trying to hurt somebody, and somebody's going to take a run at Dell at some point.
Yeah, probably so, Tony. It wasn't Grayson Allen bad, but it was bad. He gave it a little shimmy, and he knew what he was doing, but it's complex. And, Tony, I think the reason it's complex is because you cannot hit a goaltender, right? And a goaltender, we've seen him do this before. He doesn't even get penalized for you. You went to suspension. He didn't get a penalty. And so that's why this is complex. You've had other goalies like Fleury weigh in and say, hold on here. And so there are levels of it in terms of whether it should be a penalty, whether it then should be a suspension, whether there should be disgust. So I'm going to say complex. I don't disagree with anything you said. I'm just going to say the way the rule is, okay. Complex.
Next.
Daniil Medvedev's explanation for how he rallied to win from two sets down was blank.
Let's just watch it and listen to it, and then I'll give you my word.
I didn't really know what to do, so I was like, I don't know if people are going to like it, but I told myself what Novak would do.
The old Novak do play.
So he says, I don't know if people are going to like it. Did they like it? No, they didn't like it. The last person on Earth they want to be referenced in Australia is Novak Djokovic. And so my word is provocative. You know, if you align yourself with him and he was tossed out of the country, if you align yourself with him, people aren't going to like you. Medvedev's really good. Medvedev is the kind of player who could deny Djokovic or Rafael Nadal, for that matter, their 21st major.
He's working on two slams.
He's a really good player.
Yeah. Tony, I'm going to say brassy. So I'll go like a half step further than you did. I'm going to say brassy because he knew what he was doing. Now, I could have gone with mischievous, too, because he had that little twinkle in his eye. He knew exactly what he was doing. But brassy, I mean, he walked right in there with that name in that arena, in that city, in that country, where, you know, they don't want to hear, like you said, they don't want to hear Djokovic. You don't hear anything about him at all. And you're right about Medvedev, Tony. He won the U.S. Open. He is the holder of the most recent, you know, slam. So this is he's a legit guy. Now, because there was mischief on his face, Tone, I don't know that I'm going to say he was siding with Djokovic. I thought he was tweaking them a little bit, tweaking the audience a little. You didn't think that?
Do you want to hear an odd fact?
What's
Medvedev,
that?
Medvedev, if he wins the Australian, he's the first male player ever to win the second major immediately after his first major. I couldn't believe that. With all the great tennis players in the world, that's
that would
never
be impressive.
Happened?
No.
Totally impressive. Stunned. That's it. Let's take one last break, but still to come, Louisville is in the market for a new basketball coach.
And can Madison Keys pull off a big upset of Ashley Barty down in Australia? Keys, land of Lincoln. Land of Lincoln, Tone, home state.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/PTI. That's amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Happy time, people. Happy 22nd birthday, Darius Garland. You're forgiven if you've never heard of him. Many people haven't. Garland is a starting point guard for the Cleveland Cavaliers, and he's getting a lot of credit for the Cavs' resurgence. Garland was the fifth overall pick in the 2019 draft, despite playing only five college games at Vanderbilt. In his third NBA season, Garland is averaging 19.7 points and 8.2 assists per game and making 46.5% of his shots. His points per game have climbed steadily from 12.3 as a rookie and 14.8 last year. Other than veteran Kevin Love, most people can't name anyone on the Cavaliers, but they are the pleasant surprise of the NBA at 29-19. The Cavs were a disaster after LeBron James left. Next 3 years, they were 19-63, 19-46, and 22-50, and they went through Ty Lue, Larry Drew, and John Beilein as coaches. J.B. Bickerstaff is there now, steering the boat so it's going with the current, and Garland has the wind at his back.
Yeah, Kobe Altman deserves big credit for that. Garland, be honest, Tony, I voted Trae Young ahead of Garland as a starting guard on the All-Star team. But, I mean, when you realize that Colin Sexton and Ricky Rubio both injured and out for the year, the Cavs didn't just hold it. They're getting better. Garland's a huge reason why.
Yeah, I agree with that. Happy anniversary, Jan Stenerud. On this day 31 years ago, Stenerud became the first pure place kicker to be elected to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Since then, Morten Andersen has joined him. If you think just two place kickers isn't much for a sport called football, consider that Ray Guy is the only pure punter in the Hall of Fame, and there's no clamor for anyone else, including Pat McAfee. I would think that Adam Vinatieri will be voted in, maybe Sebastian Janikowski, possibly Steven Goskowski. Looking at the kickers now, Justin Tucker would seem to be the most obvious choice for the Hall, and of course, Evan McPherson, if he keeps kicking like he did against Tennessee, although I concede it's a small sample size. Wilbon, you sat in that room for years. How come there are no punters and kickers in the Hall? Is there a prejudice against them?
Well, Tony, I hate to use that word, but I guess it amounts to that. But now that kickers are making routinely 50 to 60-yard kicks, they make enormous percentages of those very long kicks. I think there's got to be a place kicker or two, and you named a couple who are going to go in. Punter, maybe. Yeah. Now, Ray Guy had to. I was in that room and, yes, voted for Ray Guy. He, to me, was a no-brainer at the time.
He is the best ever. Happy trails, Chris Mack. Louisville fired Mack today, halfway through his fourth year as the Cardinals basketball coach. Louisville is 11-9 overall and 5-5 in the ACC after losing five of his last six games, none to ranked teams. Mack had previously been suspended for Louisville's first six games this season for not following proper school procedures last spring when he fired assistant coach Dino Gaudio. That blew up in Mack's face. Gaudio attempted to extort Mack. There is a recording of Gaudio threatening to expose NCAA violations if he didn't get paid his full salary. The NCAA got all over that, and the program is under scrutiny. Mack came to Louisville from Xavier in the wake of the Rick Pitino scandal. So now at Louisville, there's a bad team, a fired coach, and no full-time school president or athletic director to fix it, and I think that qualifies as a real mess.
Yeah, either real mess or hot mess. I'm just going to say amen and leave it at that. And that's too bad because Louisville's important to college basketball. Very important, and now a hot mess.
Yeah. Let's go to the big finish. The Vikings hired Browns VP of football ops, Kwesi Adofo-Mensa, as their new GM. Does that make sense?
He's got one hell of an academic record, Tone. We'll see if that translates into football genius as well. But congrats on spreading, on widening the casting of the net. That's a good thing. Kevin Durant is expected to miss the All-Star game on February 20. He's recovering from that MCL sprain. Tone, your thoughts?
My thoughts are is that Kevin Durant is the best basketball player in the world, but he gets hurt a lot these last few years. He's unavailable a lot. Bulls forward Derrick Jones Jr. fractured a finger while working out. He will miss 6 to 8 weeks. Your thoughts?
Everybody in Chicago's out 6 to 8 weeks. Everybody. Half the team. I don't know how we're going to hold on. Keith Yandel of the Flyers broke the NHL Ironman record last night. That's a big deal, right?
It's amazing. It's 965 straight games in a sport where you get hurt and laid out all the time. You know, it's really something. On the other hand, they stink as a team. Last one, 3:30 this morning. I'll be up. Number one, Ash Barty versus Madison Keys in the Aussie Open semis. You smell an upset?
Not really, but I'm rooting hard for Madison Keys, Tone. Illinois' own. Rooting for her.
We're out of time. Try and do better the next time. Michael Kerr, you like this hat?
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, knucklehead.